going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
High fly ball center field. When Jake Myers puts it away, it's a sweep. Astros sweep the Jays with a 3-1 victory today. Winning 3 in a row for the first time and also moving to 2 games over 500 for the first time this year. 13-11 on the season. That's a good homestand blummer against 2 good teams in the Padres and the Jays.
And now the series is tied at 1 apiece as the Rockets try to go into San Francisco and get one back. At least one back for the Warriors, with the series now shifting to the Bay Area for games 3 and 4. Rockets win it. Series tied at 1-1. 109-94. Your happy final score. Big nights for Jalen Green. A double-double as well for Upper Chagoon.
That is the formula right there. Jalen Green outstanding. Alperen Şengün, a double-double. You heard the Astros. Todd Callis on the call for the Stros final call. That was Craig Ackerman on the call, both on Space City Home Network last night. In this recent stretch of all-or-nothing Houston sports, we either come in completely distraught, or we come in jubilant. Last night was jubilant. The Astros complete the sweep of the Blue Jays. The Rockets even the series with the Warriors. We've got a series on our hands now. Jimmy Butler might be injured, so we got a lot to unpack. Oh, yeah, and there's an NFL draft tonight as well. So we got a lot to get to on the show here today. We appreciate you getting up with us. We are with you till 10 a.m. this morning. I'm Sean Pendergast. He is a jubilant Seth Payne. Good morning, my friend.
It's going to be such a great 4-day stretch here. Yeah. Between the very important Rockets basketball, obviously, the Astros looking like they are looking and sweeping the Toronto Blue Jays, a solid baseball team, but then also the NFL draft. And I'm in that position, Sean, where it feels most like, this is when I feel most like when I was actually playing football, which is you're playing in a Monday night game and you've got all this time during the day and you tell yourself, I really should take a nap in the afternoon, but you lay down in your depressing, darkened hotel room. And you're like, all right, what am I going to do? Again, I don't have the mental discipline to actually calm myself down enough to take a nap. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to try to force myself into a nap this afternoon.
It's going to be a late one.
We got big stuff going on here in Houston.
Yeah, it's going to be a late one here. And the good news is the Rockets game 3 is on a Saturday. So that's going to start at 9 o'clock or whatever. So you got all Sunday to recover for that. But yeah, man, let's start with the Rockets, because that's of the sporting events that took place, that's the more important. It's postseason.
Yeah, Jalen Green has ruined my nap for this afternoon.
Yeah, man.
I can't get his performance out of my mind.
I was really happy for Jalen last night. For those of you just getting up and may not have seen the you know, I don't know how much of the game you saw last night, but it was the Rockets led wire to wire. There were several opportunities in the second half of this game for the Rockets to really put their foot on the throat of Golden State, and I'll credit Golden State. No Jimmy Butler for most of this game, because he sustained what could be, we'll see, he's going to get an MRI, what could be a series-altering injury landed bruised, hard on his
bruised
back.
Bruised pelvis.
Yeah, landed hard.
They were
hard.
Calling it a bruised pelvis, which it looked like a tailbone.
Yeah.
So a coccyx. Is the coccyx part of your... Is it a vertebra?
It's the very end, it's the very end of it? It's the Cape Cod of your vertebrae. It's the very, very end of your vertebrae. Yeah.
So it is a vertebrae.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's a, but you don't really think of it that way. But they were calling it a bruised pelvis. Bruised whatever pelvis. It was. It looks painful. Listen, Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
Tom Ball native.
Yeah.
Got no hatred in my heart for him.
No.
Well, other than, you know. But he's a very, very important part of the Warriors team. You know who else was a really important part of a Rockets team back in the day? Chris Paul.
Yeah, you don't apologize, man.
Yeah, hey, Rockets had the Warriors on the ropes. Chris Paul strains his hamstring. Yeah. What are you going to do?
No, sorry.
That's basketball, baby.
Yeah.
There is a small sliver of incredibly soft Warriors fans who somehow think that Amen Thompson was being dirty on a play where he was getting boxed out by Draymond Green, lost his balance, and careened into Jimmy Butler. These things happen when you're playing basketball. No, I think, to their credit, a lot of Warriors fans are like, well, no, bro, this ain't it.
Yeah.
But, you know, incredibly soft Northern Californians, there's enough of them that they're acting like the Rockets are playing dirty basketball. Go die.
There's always a few. So 109-94 was the final score last night. And even when Jimmy Butler was in there, the Rockets had come out strong in this game. Like, there was nothing about game one that took the starch out of the Rockets' energy and zeal defensively. And I think the big difference, the huge difference between game one and game two is you got a massive performance from Jalen Green last night.
Right.
From the jump, it was very evident, Seth, in the first 6 or 7 minutes of that game that whatever film study they put in since Sunday, Jalen Green was, he had six assists in the game. Four of them he had in the first 6 or 7 minutes of the game. You know, he was looking to use Ime Udoka's word from Sunday night. He was looking for his outlets early on. He knew what Golden State was going to be throwing at him, and he reacted really well to that.
He went from Mr. Magoo to a bald eagle in terms of vision.
Yes.
It was I got so excited every time
kids,
I thought,
"Hey kids, Mr. Magoo was this guy."
A drive and kick. You know what Mr. Magoo looks like, even if you've never seen Mr.
That's
Magoo.
True. Yeah.
That name. He is thick glasses, Coke bottle glasses.
Yeah.
So he went. Any drive and kick, I was excited about. That pass that he fed to Amen Thompson early on underneath, that was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that was great. And, defensively, the way they were attacking Steph Curry, was excellent.
Yeah.
Steph Curry had as many turnovers as field goals in this game.
Yeah, yeah.
And the big question is just, all right, if Jimmy Butler had been available for the last three quarters as an outlet, what would the adjustments have been? But look, the Rockets have held the Warriors under 100 points consistently this year.
Yes.
I don't worry about the Rockets defensively. It really is about, can they keep the offense going somehow, some way to just get to 100? If you can get to 100, you got a really good shot of beating the Warriors.
Yeah, yeah. And it's 6:07 in the morning. We're 7 minutes into the show. I don't want to nitpick. That is the thing that makes me nervous, especially going back to Golden State. We'll see how this... how this travels. Like, the offense, they scored 109 points last night. There are still way too many possessions where they're initiating offense with 5 seconds left on the shot clock.
Yeah.
It's Dylan Brooks with the ball in his hands on the wing with 4 seconds on the shot clock. They made shots last night that I'm glad they made them. The series is even at one, and that's great. And this is a young team that it feels like is playing a little bit playing with house money, even though they're the 2 seed. But, man, like... I don't know what's sustainable about these contested threes and Dylan Brooks turnaround jump shots in the lane and things like that. Like
in the second quarter when they were trading threes with the Warriors,
I
just it was going the ball was going in, but there's a part of me that's like, all right, guys, let's get back to some of the more aggressive stuff, or because it's in a 7-game series, if you're going to start to just try to trade threes with the Warriors, you're going to lose that battle over time. But I'm with you. I don't want to be nitpicky.
Yeah.
It was such an upgraded performance out of Jalen Green.
Such
on
an
the sum total of things that yes. We also, though, still saw Fred VanVleet go 1-for-7.
Right.
Yeah,
but I think the thing there, too, Seth, is like just the Rocket says, and look, Fred VanVleet's going to play in this series. Like anybody who's like, Fred VanVleet's had 2 bad games now offensively. Great. He's going to play 35 to 40 minutes a night. There's nothing you can do about that. Ime Udoka loves him, and there is something calming about having him on the floor at times for sure. Although, again, last night, You're the point guard, man. You're the steward of an offense that gets very strange shots to stay in this game. But the thing to me, Seth, where you say, you know, Fred VanVleet's 1-for-7 from three, I think he's 2-for-8 from the field, something like that. The good thing is he's only taking 8 shots. He's not taking 19 shots like he was in the first game. They're at least getting shots from the guys who are supposed to be, you know, who are supposed to be your catalysts on offense, right? You know, like Jalen Green, Alperen Sengun, those are the guys. You know, you're running the offense through those guys.
Well, and even with some of the shooting performances, you don't expect the Rockets to shoot 37.5% from three consistently, but the margin was still a healthy margin. You can miss a few of those threes, and the way you're playing, it was a very, very good basketball game last night. It was the classic, hey, after game one of an NBA playoff series, you way overreact.
Right.
It feels like if you lose that first game by a healthy margin, it feels like you'll never win again. They did exactly what they needed to do while they had a home game to just get back, whether you want to call it momentum or even the tables, whatever it might be.
Yeah, no, I absolutely. And I thought when Jimmy Butler went out, and that was huge, and that's something to keep an eye on the next couple days. He's going to get an MRI on this bruised pelvis, tailbone, whatever it is. Landed hard on the lower back. I thought at that point, Seth, okay, the Rockets are either going to win by 30 or the Warriors are going to win a close game where Steph Curry scores 45 points. And it landed on neither. It landed right in the middle of that. Like, Steph didn't have a great game, made some circus shots. Rockets could never really put the Warriors away. They got it up to 20 a few times, and then they'd give up a 7-0 run or an 8-0 run to allow the Warriors to kind of hang in this game. The Warriors did get some decent three-point shooting from some of their supporting cast. But the thing I was encouraged about that I do think is sustainable is that each time the Warriors kind of punched at the Rockets with those little runs to get it down to 12 or 11 points, is the Rockets would come back with a 5 or 6 point stretch of their own, you know, 5-0, 6-0 run of their own to kind of keep them at distance in the game last night.
And Jalen Green admitted that he was a little bit just kind of blinded by the bright lights of game one.
Yeah.
So getting in, this is where I think having the extra time for rest during the playoffs probably really helped Jalen Green. He got that extra film work in with the coaches. He could kind of maybe get his mind right for it. But defensively, too, this is one of the other things that's very sustainable is just Jalen Green's defense.
Oh, yeah.
His rating went from 110 in the first game to 98.6 in the second game. He's just much better plugged in defensively. So that part's sustainable. This is a team that, look, as long as they keep making it chippy and as long as it's a slug out, hey, Draymond Green ain't that guy no more.
No.
You know?
He sucks.
Draymond, that ain't you no more. Yep. You're not that guy anymore.
He sucks.
I take a team that's going to be chippy and physical and tough. You don't counteract that the way you once did.
No.
As the Rockets fans let you know last night, with a very melodic and poetic chant that we can't say on the radio.
Yes. it wasn't a sexy haiku or anything like that, but yes, they very poetic chant. All right, so we'll keep digging into this Rockets game. Astros win last night. We'll touch on that in the next segment and in headlines. It is draft time, man. Draft time. 25th overall pick. The Texans are going to be on the clock tonight. And we'll dig into that as well. I actually posed the question to Seth about would they take one of these three guys, Booker, Banks, or Donovan Jackson, take one of those three guys, or will they take somebody from the field? You got those two choices from those two groups of players, Booker, Banks, Jackson, or every other eligible draft eligible player. The people weighed in on this, Seth. I'm curious to get your guess on people ended up agreeing with you. I think you settled on field. Ultimately on that one,
I did, because I was sober.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll see.
This morning I'm drunk, so we'll see.
Let's go.
That's why I need that nap.
Let's go. So we'll hit that. Astros and NFL draft, that's coming up next. All right, Payne.
I can admit I need to be better.
Hey.
He just hit one deep to left field and all the way back to the wall. 1-0 Astros. Christian Walker hits number 3 on the season. He's now 4-for-4 since the off day, hitting the home run to get things going for the Astros.
Yeah, there you go.
Hanging breaking ball, and he smashed it.
That was good to see. Christian Walker, a couple hits. He continued his streak at the beginning of the game last night. He was 3-for-3 a couple nights ago. He was 2-for-his first 2 last night. Christian Walker seems to be snapping out of it. That's good to see because Yordan Alvarez needs some protection in this lineup, and Christian Walker will be a big key to that moving forward. Yeah. Astros win last night, 3-1, they sweep the Blue Jays, Seth. First sweep of the year. And, man, the pitching was really, really good in this series.
As it has been, as of late, in the series they allowed how many hits? Seven hits?
Nine hits and two runs in 27 innings.
Yeah. The 1.77 ERA in the past eight games.
Yeah.
And they've been good throughout the duration of the season, but particularly dominant as of late. Including versus the Padres, entered the series versus the Astros with the best record in baseball. And the Astros, they took a little wind out of their sails. They did. But the biggest thing, honestly, is that at some point, I think you're going to get, obviously, we've seen hints of the power returning. Yordan's the guy that's most glaringly absent from that. And part of it is just that, teams have just not been pitching to him.
Right.
Especially with Yiner and Christian Walker hitting the way they've been hitting in Paredes early on. Why bother pitching to Yordan Alvarez? So hopefully with Walker and Yiner and everybody else starting to hit more like you're hoping they can hit, that Yiner starts seeing some pitches.
Yordan starts seeing some pitches. Yordan, yeah.
Nobody's pitching around Yiner.
But in the meantime, the pitching's been outstanding. Here was Joe Espada last. By the way, Todd Callis on the call right there, Space City Home Network. Here was Joe Espada last night. Ryan Gusto was excellent last night. Gave up one run over, I think, five innings and change, maybe six innings last night. Struck out a bunch of guys again. That was good to see. Here was Joe Espada on rookie Ryan Gusto.
You know what? We knew that he can be this pitcher, and obviously we decided to send him down to the minor leagues earlier, and then we started looking around our roster, and we're like, you know what, this kid has a really good arm. He can give us some flexibility out of the bullpen, and we know if something happens in the rotation, this kid can step in and do that, and he's doing just that. He's throwing the ball really, really good.
Yeah, he's like the pitching version of DiCenzo and Cam Smith. Like, you know what? Probably be good if he pitched every 5 days at Sugarland or something like that, but
yeah,
he can really help us.
Right, yeah, and that's one thing where the Astros – their ability to take and transform and get the very best out of pitchers is still very much a thing. Mm-hmm. If anything, I feel like sometimes we as Astros fans, our expectations are still a little too high because we've watched the Astros in the golden era had some of the best offenses in the history of baseball. Sometimes our expectations are a little too high.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like our expectations of the pitching, coaching, and analytics staff to get the absolute most out of their pitchers is still very much intact and should be.
Yeah.
I mean, Gusto's a guy that Gusto's own high school coach didn't think he was that good.
Right.
And, another guy on the roster who's like that is Sean Dubin,
mm-hmm.
who really wasn't that great a pitcher in high school, and he just kept pitching. And then he gets the major league or gets the professional baseball and couldn't have gone to a better scenario.
Get in the right organization, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's injured, and at some point maybe we'll see him again, but they just have so many guys littered around their organization like that you can – it's okay to have high expectations for Gusto.
Yeah. Everybody in the lineup had at least one hit last night. That was fun to see. Just everybody kind of chipping in. Pena's hitting streak is at 14 games now.
Mm-hmm.
He's only got – let's see, that's only 42 more games to catch Joe DiMaggio for the all-time record, so that's – that was good to see.
How many more?
42.
42?
Yeah, 56-game hitting streak is the all-time
record.
DiMaggio
guy was pretty good,
He was good. He got a lot of tail, too, man. That 56-game hitting streak got him a lot of tail.
We don't know if he got a lot, but the quality was
good. The quality was good, yeah. I don't know if he was Jeter or anything like that. And I was concerned last night in the ninth inning that I jinxed Josh Hader when he started putting guys on base. I'm like, oh, man. I acknowledged him yesterday. I said, you know who we haven't been talking about enough? Josh Hader, that's who.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets a little trafficky in the ninth inning. But he pitched out of it. It was fine. It's all good, man.
It was a perfect Blue Jays game because George Springer had a really nice hit in the game, but it was all for naught.
There you go.
So Springer's been having a hell of a season.
Yeah.
So the fact that they swept the Blue Jays, but at least we did see some nice moments out of George Springer.
Yep. So Astros win. We got to that. Rockets win. We talked about that in the open. We'll talk about both in headlines. So yesterday I posed the question to you, Seth. NFL draft tonight. You can hear it right here on Sports Radio 6. Text message. Are we going to talk Texans? Yes. Be patient, people. We're going to get to everything. We have a playoff win in basketball last night. The Astros are finally looking like a contender again. And yes, we're going to talk plenty of draft. It's a four-hour show. We're going to get to the Texans right now. I asked Seth this question yesterday because it looks like the way things are shaping up. We'll kind of summarize some of the Nugget hussies here in just a second and what everybody's saying, because it does seem like there is a consensus that the Texans are looking to trade up. Kelvin Banks is a big name they're looking at, but offensive line is the position group at the very least that they're looking at drafting in the first round.
Yeah, and the Kelvin Banks, the offensive tackle out of Texas, is the most interesting scenario because he's consistently going in the top half of the draft in mock drafts. And I take all of these reports of the Texans making calls to teams that are in the top 15 with a huge grain of salt. Because for one, you know what else all those teams in the top 15 have? They have picks in rounds 2 through 7.
Yeah.
So Caserio is always making calls. Caserio is making calls to teams in the top half of the draft and in the bottom half of the draft. I think that they are very probably much open to trading up, but it's got to be at the right price. So I know this is where people get nervous because there's all these other reports that, hey, teams don't really seem all that interested in trading up. They don't want the Texans to overpay in a year where it should be easy to trade up.
Yeah.
So what is the exact right price, and how much would they want, say, Kelvin Banks, if that's the guy they really want?
Yeah, yeah. So I asked, it seems like they're zeroing in on offensive line. I posed the question to Seth yesterday. Will the Texans' first round pick come out of which group? Will the Texans' first round pick come out of one of two groups? The first group is Tyler Booker, guard out of Alabama; Kelvin Banks, who we just mentioned, tackle from Texas; and Donovan Jackson, guard out of Ohio State. That's group one. Group two is every other player in the draft. Okay,
yeah.
So you either get those three guys who have been heavily, heavily tied to the Texans, or everybody else. You at first said those three guys, Seth, Booker, Banks, and Jackson, and then we kind of talked it through, and as you are allowed to do in this exercise, you flipped over to the field. You're usually a field guy.
I never took my hand off the checker.
That's right.
So I slid it right back to the
field. That's right.
Yep.
So you said field. Now, I posed that question to the people. Several hundred people voted in this thing. What do you think the people said about this?
I think the people, knowing that at least a third of the Texans fan base, at least a third, actually really wants a wide receiver compared to an offensive lineman, I'm going to say that they said the field.
They did not.
They didn't.
Okay. They did not. And this one, this might be the poll where your Spidey sense is off by the most.
Oh, whatever.
I'm just telling you the numbers. 76.5%. Think that if they have to predict, they're not saying what they want. They're predicting you're predicting what the Texans are going to do. 76.5% said they think that the pick is going to come from that group of three of Booker, Banks, and Donovan Jackson.
I think this is the big thing, and this is where it gets incredibly hazardous. Just believing too much of what all these Nugget hussies say, and because Kelvin Banks' name has been out there heavily in the last 48 hours, I think people feel. And it does make sense. If you've been listening to all the Nugget hussies, some of them are informed Nugget hussies.
They are.
I mean, Daniel Jeremiah is not a Nugget hussy.
No.
He doesn't. Some of these Nugget hussies are basically mouthpieces of the agents or GMs.
Yeah.
Whereas Jeremiah is a lot more.
He doesn't break news.
Okay, so the big thing is, let's say the Texans really do like Kelvin Banks, and maybe they're trying to trade up for him to have an opportunity to draft him. If they don't, there's a really good chance that either Tyler Booker or Donovan Jackson, both guards, plus Jackson can play tackle. There's a really good chance that one of those two guys is available at 25.
Yeah.
And that's where it feels like, man, they take these high character swarm type guys. They're sitting right there at 25. That it's hard after we've been fed all this propaganda to believe that they won't take one of those two guys.
Yeah.
I personally think that there's a chance that Kelvin Banks might slip a little bit further than where most people have him going as well, which increases the likelihood the Texans can trade up for him.
Mm-hmm.
So my hunch would be if Kelvin Banks slides out of the top 15, the Texans might get super aggressive to go up and get him.
I could see that. And you've got the extra draft capital from the Laremy Tunsil trade. You've got an extra 3 this year. You've got an extra 2 and an extra 4 in 2026. And we'll point this out again, as we discussed this same topic yesterday, that the last two off seasons, I think one of the earmarks of those off seasons has been Nick Caserio using extra draft capital to go get assets that he wants, that the team wants badly. They used all that extra Deshaun Watson draft capital to go up and get Will Anderson, to move from 12 to 3 to get Will Anderson in 2023. Last year, it wasn't a draft day trade, but they made the move down in the draft with Minnesota to pick up an extra 2 in 2025. They never used that 2. They never came close. They used it to go get Stephon Diggs. Yeah. So I do think, yes, I do think there's an element of if you got a little extra change in your pocket, use it to go buy some certainty for yourself, or at least perceive certainty for yourself.
The other big wild card is people wonder whether, man, DeMeco always wants defensive linemen. He's been looking for a big impact three-down defensive tackle for multiple years now, kind of taking swings at the plate and whiffing. I wonder, two big things that have developed in the last couple days is that there's two defensive tackles that might be there that look like first-round talent. Derek Harmon and Walter Nolan.
Yeah.
Slightly different types of players, but Derek Harmon's got a shoulder issue that people are reportedly concerned about.
Okay.
Walter Nolan might have either some maturity or temperament issues or whatever else it might be, and people have voiced concern about that. Either one of those sound to me like a guy that maybe the Texans just don't have him on the board in the first round.
It could be.
So I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if they say, okay, no, we don't like. If you go back to when they drafted Will Anderson, the other guy that was kind of in contention with Will Anderson was the
Tyree Wilson.
Yeah. And then news of his ankle injury popped up just a couple days before the draft.
Yep.
Tyree Wilson has barely played football, I think.
That would have been a disaster.
Yeah.
Certainly to trade up for him would have been a disaster, but drafting him, period, would have been a disaster. He went a couple picks later after the Texans took Will. But yeah, you look at it, Seth, Albert Breer, Texans sniffing around on a trade up, target strong character players for that offensive line room. Jeremy Fowler, Nick Caserio's been making calls to teams in the upper half of the first round. Diana Rossini yesterday. These guys and gals are all emptying their notebooks the day before the draft. Nick Caserio's made at least 3 draft day trades every year. The most notable one was for Will Anderson. She talks about him. The Texans have been actively making calls about a potential move up. Todd McShay did his podcast, talked about the Texans looking to that. There seems to be a general consensus that the Texans are looking to move up. And I guess you bring up the very valid point, which is how much of this is them actively looking to do it? How much of this is just Nick Caserio canvassing the entire league to see what's out there, right?
By far the dumbest report. The absolute dumbest report was the guy yesterday we talked about who said that the Texans are talking to teams in the top 15, but they're also calling teams behind them in the
Fowler.
Draft.
Jeremy Fowler. Yeah.
I don't think it's ever Nick Caserio feeding information to people other than perhaps a few select instances. It's all these other GMs or people from front offices that are like, oh yeah, I talked to old Nick the other day, called me up.
Yep.
Said he was willing to part with this and that.
How about
Tyree Wilson has played, by the way. He's only started 4 games since he's gotten into the NFL.
Yeah, he's not as good as Will.
He just hasn't started much.
Good for him. Because that's what you're looking to get from the 6th overall pick or whatever the hell he was. How about this, man? We're getting hashtag and Nick We Trust on the text page, on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Stop with the swarm bleep. We haven't said swarm, I think, this morning yet.
I said
you just now?
Swarm.
Okay, did you? Okay, yeah.
Swarm has worked out pretty damn well for the defense.
Yeah,
Texted that in. Let us know whether you want us to stop talking about it or whether you think the team is a little too concerned with
it. Right. All right.
If you're happy with the swarminess of the offense right now, then yeah, by all means.
Yeah, let's just scrap it.
Just go out there like you're somebody who needs 3 Viagras just to wake up in the morning.
That's right.
Because that is a limpid offense right now.
Flaccid.
Okay?
That is
not swarmy whatsoever.
Flaccid offense.
Yeah. That offense's wife is flirting with the pool boy.
That's right. Yeah. They're flirting with the Chiefs. They're flirting with the Ravens. Yeah. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. Headlines coming up next. We'll circle back to the Rockets and the Astros. It's draft night as well. Lot to get into in headline. Lot to get into today on the show, man. Appreciate you getting up with us here. We're with you till 10 a.m. this morning.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines presented by Men's Tea Clinic.
All right, let's start with the Rockets. They beat the Warriors last night, 109-94. Two big stories in this game: bounce back performance by Jalen Green, Jimmy Butler with an injury that we are wait and see on, but this could impact the series. He landed hard on his lower back, going for a rebound. Amen Thompson inadvertently kind of undercut him, and both guys went down in a heap, but Jimmy Butler took the brunt of that. So let's get to Ime Udoka's thoughts on both of these things. Again, 109-94, the final score. Series even at one. They play again on Saturday night. Series goes to San Francisco for games 3 and 4. Here was Ime Udoka on Jalen Green's 38-point performance last night.
Yeah, I think that kind of ignited him a little bit. You know, he got after it there. Was aggressive on both sides, and we need that from him. Podziemski was too comfortable last game. Much better job climbing up into him. And then switching on to Curry, he was aggressive. Same thing when Hill came in, so I think that all carried over. But, you know, he bounced back on both ends, obviously. Aggressive offensively, physical defensively, and that's what you're going to need against these guys.
Yeah, that's the defensive part. Man, I don't want to let that just go by the wayside. Like, he got 38 points last night, and Jalen Green hit big shots in that game, too. Like, very timely three-pointers to kind of hold Golden State at bay. But as I watched that game, Seth, all 48 minutes of it, and I hone in on Jalen Green, man, the part that is most encouraging to me, big picture, is just his defensive intensity last night. Man, like we see it all the time with guys like Amen Thompson and Jabari Smith and Tari Eason, those big long wings that they have. To see Jalen Green just with defensive intensity where he fits right in with those guys was really, really, really cool to see. And Steph kind of gave him some props at one point where he – remember that the play where he stripped the ball from Steph and they both wound up on the floor and they tied up for a jump ball?
Yeah.
And Steph kind of puts his arm around him and kind of gets in his ear and smiles and says, good job, young buck. Way
well, and those two go way, way back to high school, you know.
Yeah.
Jalen
went to his camp.
Yeah, he used to wake up an hour early in high school to go work out in the morning. So they know each other. That's why I didn't quite buy the excuse that, hey, Jalen Green is his first time playing against playing Steph in this Curry. Environment against these names and everything. Like, okay, he's seen Steph Curry a bunch of times already in the NBA.
Yeah.
Defensively, look, their strategy versus Steph Curry, especially in the three quarters without Jimmy Butler on the court. Steph Curry had as many field goals as he had turnovers in that game. He had 6 field goals, 6 turnovers. It was very, very effective. And 100%, I mean, this is why the Warriors traded for Jimmy Butler. They are a completely different team without Jimmy Butler. And credit to the Rockets, they were doing this from the jump with Jimmy Butler in the game.
Yep.
You just figure, okay, if Jimmy Butler had been there, the Warriors probably would have made some adjustments, figured some things out. But that was huge, and it was just an unfortunate play for Jimmy Butler as the Rockets were playing their typical brand of really aggressive rebounding.
This Jimmy Butler injury is huge, man. Like, if the formula for Golden State in that game last night just to stay in the game was Moses Moody and Quentin Post shooting 50% from 3-point range between they shot 7 for 14, the two of them, from 3-point range to just keep Golden State within 15 points in that game.
Yeah, there was a very high. Wait, who the hell is that guy? Quotient in that game.
Huge.
For you know, after you've been accustomed to watching the Warriors forever with so many name brand dudes. Yeah, there was a lot of that.
A lot of that.
I think that's what I canvassed Warriors fans, or, you know, just kind of trying to see what their responses were. For the most part, by and large, most Warriors fans understand that wasn't a dirty play by Amen Thompson. That was just basketball. Sometimes unfortunate things happen.
Yep.
But two, that, oh man, we are hosed. Hosed without Jimmy Butler.
Yeah,
which is nice.
Yeah, we'll see. And right, unapologetic about this. No Chris Paul back in 2018. Screw you guys. If you don't have Jimmy Butler, that's the deal. That's basketball.
Yeah, I think they were saying in the playoffs in general, they were still disrespecting the Rockets, but it was a lot of, well, maybe we make it through this series. But the thing is, Jimmy Butler, if it's just a bruised tailbone or pelvis or whatever it is, and he'll be there for the second series if they make it.
If they make it.
It's a big if. Warriors.
Big if. Game 3 Saturday night in San Francisco. Astros beat the Blue Jays last night 3-1. Ryan Gusto was excellent in this game. The pitching has been outstanding. Over the last 8 games, a 1.77 ERA. They lead the league in WHIP, walks, hits per innings pitched. They're second in batting average allowed. The Astros pitching staff in Major League, the pitching staff has been outstanding this year. They're 13-11, so they're creeping back to where we expect their record to hopefully be at the end of the year. Christian Walker getting hot right now is a big deal, and he had a home run last night on the heels of going 3-for-3 the night before. Here was Joe Espada on Christian Walker.
Yeah,
Yeah, and you know, not so much the results, obviously. Like, the results just speaks for themselves. But I think he's in a much better position. He takes our pitches that they're close to the zone. He's not chasing them. I think the home run, it was a slow breaking ball, but he stayed behind it, and he put a really good swing on it. Really, really happy where he's at right now. I know he has worked really hard to be in this spot right now, and we're going to enjoy our off day tomorrow and continue that momentum in Kansas City.
The thing I've liked most about Christian Walker through 24 games, Seth, other than his glove, he's been excellent defensively, as you would expect him to be. He's a three-time Gold Glove winner, is that he's taken this all in stride. He's been very accountable about his slump. When they sat him the other day, no big deal. When they moved him down in the order from 4 to 5, hey, whatever it takes for the team to win. Christian Walker, not that I expected anything different, but that's been good to see. Like, you know, as you're going through this stuff offensively, this team is going still going through some things offensively. This ball club is, to have one of their leaders kind of take it in stride like that. That's a good thing to hear, you know.
Well, and if I go to Yiner Diaz, who, if I cherry pick a little bit, but I think it's a legitimate cherry picking. Go back to when he had 3 hits in game number 10. He just seemed to have awakened a little bit.
Yeah.
In the last 11 games, Yiner is hitting .262. Slugging .452, OPS of .714.
Okay. I need a little more from him on the OPS front, but I'll take
it. But, it was abysmal off, right?
Moving in the right direction.
For the most part, by and large, right, you want more, and he's shown that he's capable of that.
Of course.
He was much better than that all last season.
Yeah.
But Yordan, to the point where you're not, they were trying to separate Yordan and Christian Walker as far apart as possible because nobody's pitching to Yordan Alvarez.
That's
so if you can start to look a little bit more like a normal lineup, I know you want to keep Christian Walker in the 5-hole because it's working for him.
Yeah, I don't want to jinx it. Yeah, it's superstition.
You want to jinx it, and yet it's the first time. Did I hear it right on the broadcast the other night? That was the first time he's ever played in the 5-5 spot in baseball.
I didn't hear that on the broad. I'm guessing they meant for the Astros. He's been around a long time. I'm guessing.
I know that was what was so shocking about it. One of our listeners will have heard the stat properly.
Okay, that would be crazy. I didn't hear it. That would be crazy. NFL draft tonight. Texans have the 25th overall pick. Seth, what do you? Yes or no? Do you think the Texans pick at 25 tonight? I'm not asking you if it's above 20.
Yeah,
I'm not trade up or down. It's just, do you think they stay at 25?
I'm honestly feeling this draft where it seems like there's just a big gray blob of guys that you don't feel incredible about, but guys that totally you can see them being starters in the NFL. I think there will be a couple teams that are willing to trade back for less than it might typically cost.
Okay.
And I think my gut feeling right now, not my prediction, not my report or anything, is it the Texans trade up into somewhere between 15 through 20 and take a guy that they feel good about?
I would be fine with that. There's no player that's in that range where I don't want that. Like, oh, just don't take that guy. Maybe Justin Simmons might be that guy just because of the patellar tendon issue that he has. That would be the one that if they took – did I say Justin Simmons? Josh Simmons. Josh Simmons from Ohio State. That would be the one where I'd be like, oh, I'm a little nervous about that. Honestly, the scenario, and I know the draft party's not going to like this, I want these quarterbacks to slip and have the 25th pick turn into eBay. You know, I want Nick Caserio to be able to slap a for sale sign in front of that 25th overall pick for teams that start getting horny for quarterbacks at the back end of the first round, you know? That would be, you know, I'm forgetting more picks and dominating day two of this draft. It's not the sexiest thing, and it would probably... There'd be a lot of people that go to the George R. Brown Convention Center or the street in front of it tonight for no reason, but it's what's best for the ball club, in my opinion.
It was a 6-hole. That was the old saying. I think he had never played in a 6-hole when he did for the the 5 was dumb. Yeah.
Okay.
By the way,
I got it.
Texans are going to trade. I think it's a sign the Texans are going to trade up to number 5.
Okay.
Overall.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. And by the way, RIP. Steve McMichael passes away yesterday. Had been suffering from ALS. Anybody who had watched the Hall of Fame induction ceremony this summer knows, or was it this past summer, Steve McMichael went into the Hall of Fame. He wasn't able to make it to Canton because he was bedridden, but passes away. I'm not sure how old he was, but he was a big part of those Bears defenses in the mid-80s, back in 1985.
How long did he spend as a wrestler compared to as a football player?
More time as a football player. He was a wrestler for about probably 4 years, maybe.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Late 90s. But he was part of the boom period. The attitude, he was with the other company that WWF was going against. He was with WCW. Oh. But that's what drove the Attitude Era and the Monday Night Wars, was those two companies battling. He was part of that. He was part of the Four Horsemen with Ric Flair back in the day. So he was teammates with Walter Payton and Ric Flair. Who else can say that? All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday, draft day Thursday here. RIP Steve McMichael. Up next, okay, we have people on the text page. This is Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, fishing around for wide receivers for the Texans. Are these potential trades in play? We'll answer that question. Biggest storylines of tonight for the draft, as we get you ready for it. What are the biggest storylines, Texans and non-Texans, to get you ready for tonight? We'll talk about that coming up next.